You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with Aaron and Jordan Candle. Aaron and Jordan are the writers and producers of the new film Adrift. Adrift is the amazing true story of Tammy Olden and Richard Sharp, who set out on a journey across the ocean in 1983 and sailed directly into a Category 4 hurricane. In the aftermath of the storm, Tammy awakens to find Richard badly injured in their boat in ruins and has to find a way to save them both. In this one-on-one, we get to talk to Aaron and Jordan about the challenges of telling someone else's story, the power of love and hope, and telling stories of the sea. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, guys. How are you? Hi.
Great. How are you?
Good, good, good.
We're here. We're crossing the horizon for this interview for you.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you guys for chatting with me about Adrift. I really thought it was really well written. It was a great script.
Appreciate that. Thank you for lying to us at the start of the interview. It really warms us up in a great way.
It wasn't, but if it was, that would have been the time to choose. But that wasn't a lie. I really thought it was.
It's a good choice. But, you know, somebody wrote, some famous child fablist wrote, "The flattery gets you everywhere." It blesses your twins, and then it gets you nowhere because we just look like each other and we're.
It gets you narcissism.
Yeah. It gets weird cap is what it gets you.
Well, guys, I really did enjoy it, and I was wondering how you came across the story of Tammy and Richard.
Great question. This is we'll have to probably keep telling you who's talking because we are identical twins. So even if you were sitting across from us, we probably have to.
I'm like, it doesn't matter to me if you're identical or not. I cannot see you. So
yeah, or distinguish our voices is going to be our guest. So this is Jordan talking. We came across Tammy's story while we were doing journalistic research for an original survival at sea story that we were prepping to write. And we have journalistic backgrounds, and so we always try to, whatever, fuse it with a sense of, you know, reality and authenticity, even if it's a fictional story. And so I think in the first hour we came upon Tammy's book because it's so incredibly well known as one of the all-time great survival stories. And, you know, when you look at these, you know, National Geographic and Outdoor Magazine had lists of 10 best incredible survival stories, and Tammy was the only one that featured a woman. And to us, that was just, couldn't believe that. It said everything we wanted to say in our made-up story, which was going to be about twin brothers and loss, and I don't know why we had that idea for twins, but it was a true story, and it was a woman, and she survived incredible odds, and it had an incredible love story on top of it, and so it just said everything. We just knew we had to tell it as soon as we read it.
Yeah, you talk about it being such this famous story. I'd never heard of it. I've never even heard of her before. Now, you got to spend some time with her as you're writing the story. I was wondering, what is it you found most striking or surprising about her?
I mean, the thing, this is Aaron talking, the thing that's most amazing to us about Tammy is she thinks anybody would have survived the same situation.
It's just big.
We had this conversation at the premiere.
Yeah, she's the kind of hero who doesn't think she's a hero, and that's what makes her even more heroic.
And she just has this strength and this indomitability and this humility about her that makes her, to us, deeply inspiring. Where you go, that's the kind of person that if I had to be stuck on a boat with, like, that's who I would hope I could be stuck with, because that's the person that's going to fight to make it, no matter what.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing that she thinks that anybody could have survived that, because that was just a wild story.
Well, of course, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Like, I don't know, most people I don't think could survive that. I don't think we could have survived that.
I would have ate all that peanut butter.
That's fair. That's fair. Did you guys find it challenging to bring to life a story where there were people involved around to see it? Like, you know, working with
it's
her.
It's the easiest, lowest stake thing in the world. because honoring somebody's legacy comes with absolutely no responsibility whatsoever. Oh, wait, am I going the opposite? No, for us, that was the most exciting and part of the process is not only is Tammy everything strong and fearless and humble that Aaron said, but she's also incredibly warm and open and collaborative and just willing to trust in us to tell her story and then open up her Polaroids, her ship's log, and relive this harrowing
wow.
journey in incredible, powerful detail in interviews with us over the five-year journey it took to make it. And that's just a blessing to have someone do that. And, of course, it infuses us with an even deeper desire to tell her story right.
Right, of course. That's incredible that she would be willing to delve into something like that. That was one of the first things I thought as the movie was ending was just the nature of reliving something like that in your mind. That would take an incredible amount of strength just to be able to do that, let alone help other people form your story on screen. I was wondering, too, I mean, the two of them knew each other for such a brief time, but their love, now I understand this is portrayed by Shailene and Sam, who, I mean, I think do an excellent job. But their relationship seems to be their saving grace in the midst of tragedy. I was wondering if you could talk about how did Tammy describe that that relationship to you? How did that come across?
Tammy has always described her relationship with Richard as just like a true love, like a deep soul connection, love to this day. Like, I think she believes if he was still here, they would be together.
Hmm.
And so, you know, they got engaged in the movie and in the book. They got engaged and sailed out on this thing. They were planning to sail the world together and spend their lives together. They, you know, she told us, and she says it in her book, that she's not sure exactly what got her through it. And she went over the course of the 41-day harrowing journey through a lot of different questions and doubts and thoughts. You know, we have her ship log where she's writing things like, why did you do this to me? Like, you know, the why me? You know, am I being punished? It was God. Like, it was a very Jobian thing that she would explore.
Mm.
And she doesn't know if it was a higher power, if it was a guardian spirit or angel, this voice that spoke to her in her moments of dire need and kept her going and motivated her and kind of guided her. But she does, you know, where she ultimately arrived at and believes is that it was Richard's love was what got her through it and the reason she survived, and her love for him, that was what gave her the ultimate strength.
Yeah, that's remarkable. You know, one of the things that I felt watching the film, too, is it has that feeling where the past informs the present. I was wondering why you felt it was necessary to tell so much of the story in flashback. It was an interesting way to construct the narrative. You kept going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the inspiration for that comes right out of adapting the book, which is Tammy recounting her survival while also processing her emotions through memory of this cinematic, lush romance with Richard in the Marquesan Islands.
Mm.
And it does kind of intercut chapter for chapter, the movie kind of does
scene for scene. And to us, there was something really beautifully symphonic about having these two different melodies that would interweave and create a more intricate harmony when brought together. And so that structurally and creatively was a challenge and an inspiration and a way to honor what she told us, you know, that we just said, which is if love is what she believes got her through it, then the love story is as important and essential to you understanding the survival story.
Yeah.
And those two have to be communicating with each other.
Yeah. 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 I can see there was, I like the way that you described that as lyrical, because there's this interesting back and forth. It's not like one feels tacked on. They feel like they inform one another. And I think that's really interesting. Now you guys also, you guys also have Moana to your credit, which my kids thank you for.
We've heard of that.
Pardon?
We've heard of that.
Yeah, it was this little independent film.
We've heard of it too much because our kids also sing it. We actually can't stop hearing the songs in our head.
That's fair. So I was going to thank you for it, but now I'll just say this is all your fault.
Well, there's a new song that Lin-Manuel Miranda's working on called "I'm Sorry." It's gonna be a big hit, and you're gonna be sorry that he wrote it because it's gonna be so catchy as all of his music is. It's the follow up to "You're Welcome."
Yeah. All you need is Dwayne Johnson to sing it, and it doesn't matter. It's gonna be, you know, bestseller anyway.
Do anything.
Yeah. I was wondering, you know, both films seem to have a few similarities. Of course, one of them being strong female characters. Why is it that you continue to sort of explore the female voice like this? Is that intentional, or was that just because you found
That's
this particular
all we've
story?
Got. Deep inside of us are just young women who feel a calling to the sea. It's the only story we know. We're running out of options here. We've done two back to back. What? Where do we go from here? No, it's actually it's one of those. How did they happen? You know, is it a coincidence? Is it that? As Jeremy said, like how? What steers your path?
Right.
And we found her story before Moana. We started writing the opening scenes of Adrift the day we got called and hired for Moana.
Really?
And had to put Adrift on hold while we worked on Moana, and then came back and started writing Adrift the day after we finished Moana. And so the fact that they happen to be, you know, both stories about young women who kind of find their inner strength and power by sailing out to sea and getting into a storm and being mentored by older male mariners is a coincidence or something of the highest
order. Or plagiarism.
Yeah, plagiarism is, I think, there's the word right there. You're,
Yeah. if it ain't broke, copy it endlessly.
Well, you know, and of course, you know, you guys grew up in Hawaii, and you know, is it worth asking? And based on how you answered this, though, the last question, I was wondering about the use of water in the films, like. Why is it that you feel like the water is so appropriate for storytelling, or is it just because this is where you sort of felt these characters were?
I mean, for us personally, like the nature and the ocean and a respectful communion with it has always been our church and our spirituality. It's where we feel most comfortable. We're more comfortable in the water than we are on land, and it's where we go to recharge and kind of cleanse ourselves and find inspiration and creativity. Yeah, so this is our fifth story involving Boats on the Ocean screenplay that we've actually written. It just, I guess we feel a calling back towards it, that that's where we go.
That's interesting that you say that that's sort of where you go and it sparks creatively. Is there a particular reason, or is it just because that's sort of where you grew up?
Yeah, I certainly that's the, you know, is it nature in you or is it nurture? Like, did we have salt water in our veins? Yeah, because our parents also threw us in the ocean when we were 6 months old, and that, you know, that was every day for us. So it's certainly a function of, I would think, both of those things. But yeah, being born and raised in Hawaii and living here still. Well, there's a value system to when you live on an island and island cultures. You know, Hawaii certainly, but I think all island cultures around the world. There's a respect for and a communion with the ocean because it surrounds you. It kind of has you in a blue embrace at all times. And so going to that as your source for joy, for sports, for food, it's something that for Category 5 hurricanes, for story plundering, something that, you know, we can't escape it. It's on, we're surrounded on all sides by it, and so we sail towards, yeah, we end up, you know, running and diving into it as often as we can, and as deeply as we can. We're actually sitting in it right now. I'm kidding. We're not, yeah. But
I laughed, and then I realized that could be true. Yeah, I guess.
We're doing this interview from our Apple Watches.
Yeah, that's
tandem surfing right now.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you should pay attention to that. Guys, I would be remiss if I didn't take the chance to talk about the fact that you guys are twins. Do you mind if we play a bit of a game, almost like, I would say it's the dating game, but your brothers, to find out who
well,
does what
awkward,
better?
So now we're nervous.
It sounds awkward. It isn't, but I just, a couple of quick questions, just quick hits. Who is, who's better organized?
And we just answer Jordan for all of your questions, whatever they are. I'm already liking where this is going.
I feel like if this is,
and I just want to say me for all of them.
Well, if this is going to be a true dating game, and this might be the answer to your question because I'm reorganizing your question, shouldn't you be asking one twin what they think, and or we should be writing it down? And we're not on Skype, so we couldn't hold up our answers.
I know that we don't have it
complicated. So clearly. Clearly, in trying to claim, this is like you ask one person always tells the truth and one person lies riddle, and how do you know which one? By asking that, you reveal they're the lesser organized. That's because correct. That answer is all over the place. Jordan is by far the better organized. That is true. I would have said Jordan. And Jordan would have said Jordan. So which one's telling the truth?
But I tried to, yeah. So,
well, now I'm not sure if I should continue because now I'm so blown out of the water here. I have no idea whether any of these questions have any validity.
Yeah.
I got a couple more if you want to keep going, but they were.
Jordan would survive the Thunderdome.
Jordan would.
If we are in the same place at the same time, much like Van Damme and Time Cop, we do explode. Yeah. No, we will stop hijacking your question.
That,
go ahead.
That, no, that's fair. Your answers are better anyway. all right. Who has a better sense of visuals?
Jordan.
Is it actually Jordan? No, I don't. Who writes better dialogue?
It is. Aaron.
Is that the consensus?
You've lost me again. Oh, no, you're still there.
I'm here. Who has better taste in movies?
Same. Exact same taste.
Same taste? Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
If we did like a blind tasting test where you put us in different theaters and showed us different movies and asked us what we thought, you'd probably get not only who liked which, but the exact same, like, 1 out of 100 score. Yeah.
That's fascinating, actually. I didn't expect that. All right, it's last...
Probably because we spent our whole lives watching the same movie.
There it is.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a movie, like, outside of together in a long time.
That's fair. Last one. Who's the most stylish?
Neither. We're writers, so we're just in like athletic shorts is our work uniform.
I like it.
Board shirts.
Man, that's a gig I got to get. That sounds like a good deal. Guys,
you could do your interviews from Hawaii. There's nothing stopping you. We don't know what you're wearing right now.
T-shirt and shorts. T-shirt and shorts. That's
cool. We're wearing a three-piece tuxedo, so, and Aaron's naked.
That seems appropriate. You could at least give him your jacket. Yeah. Like, come on.
It's hot out.
Guys, I really appreciate talking with you. What else are you working on? I hear that you're working on a live-action Disney project as well as a show for Netflix. Is that right?
Get on it. Top secret, very exciting Disney project. That's all we can say about it, so it's not so exciting for you. And a really cool Netflix superhero comedy with a lot of female empowerment and storm scenes.
I was going to say, and time's on the ocean. That's right.
We got to find a way to work it in somewhere.
Oh my gosh, guys, this just is such a privilege to talk with you. I really, really appreciate it. And truly, I thought the film was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was visually stunning. The script was great. The story's powerful. And, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for the chance to talk.
Well, thank you, and we truly appreciate that performance, because if you're an actor, we'll cast you in our next film, because the last lie was even better than the first one. We totally believed it. Very convincing.
Good. Then
thank you for this very, taking us very seriously in our earnest interview.
Anytime. Anytime. Thanks so much.